I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. But before anything, children and teachers, please come forward. You thought I forgot. Please. Please. Well, Evanley, it looks like you're our teacher today. Oh, there they are. Okay. All right. Holy God, we give you thanks and praise for this day, for this time to gather up these children and teach them with wisdom and joy and love so that they too might be able to see the risen Lord in the breaking of the bread. We ask, O Lord, all this in your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
All right, please be seated. Many of you over here will be going to college for the first time, or maybe some of you are coming back from college, and I've got some bad news for you. And the bad news is that you barely know what you want to study. And perhaps your parents here have given you sage wisdom of practical advice, much like the graduate from 50 years ago. I got one word for you, plastics. Of course, when you hear that one word, plastics, I'm sure many of you go, I don't want to study plastics, nor do I want to study finance or business. I want to study creative dancing. To which, if you are parents like my dad, you would have said, what? You can't get a job with creative dancing? And so, unfortunately, the path for you, not just over the next 4 years, and not just for the rest of your life, is going to be shrouded in some mystery. There will be no blinking neon lights that tell you to, for sure, to go this way and not that way. And in fact, the problem gets kind of even worse, and that is that many of the people that you will be around, your fellow students, will have even less idea of what you should do and what they should do. And furthermore, every single one of your professors is going to tell you you should major in what they love. And so then the only people really to turn to, other than the fellow students and your professors, are your parents. And of course, if you were like me when you were 18, the last thing you wanted to do was listen to your parents even more. Now, I was like you many moons ago, without an idea of what I should really study or what I should be or what should happen or any of that. And so I came up with the bright idea that I would go to a small liberal arts college and study philosophy and classics and conquer the world with a philosophy degree. You should laugh, because it's about the most delusional thing anybody has ever come up with. And yet, the issue is this. There is really nobody who can lead your life for you, with your limited wisdom and knowledge about the world, and even about what you might be good at, and even further, what you might like, have to figure this out kind of in a soup of a whole bunch of uncertainty. And I wish I could give you a big box of certainty that you could take with you to college, and every time you had a question, you could just open the box of certainty and you could pull out the right answer. But there is no box of certainty. Now, in our reading today from the Gospel according to Luke, we have these disciples. And these two disciples are on their way to Emmaus. And they are talking about what has happened over the last few days up in Jerusalem. All the stuff that has happened from Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem to his trial, to his crucifixion and death, and his burial in the tomb. They know what their eyes have seen. Their eyes have seen Jesus' ministry ending in death. They're certain about this. And so when this stranger comes to them, who is Jesus, and says, "What are you all talking about?" Their response to him is, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know what has happened?" When you read that, you should laugh. Because these two disciples of Jesus are talking to Jesus about what has happened to Jesus, but they don't have the whole story of what happened to Jesus because they can't get their heads and hearts around the idea that Jesus has risen from the dead. What they know is what their eyes in front of them can see. Oh, he's dead. That's what I've got to go on. And that's kind of the predicament that all of you are in. You know what you know. You can see what's in front of you, and that's about it. I once had dinner with Eli here, and for 3 hours we sat there eating hamburgers, trying to figure out what would be the easiest way to make him a kajillionaire. And his answer was, "I want to play the guitar." I said, "Well, that's a possibility. The bass, right? Not the guitar." Right. And the goodness of that answer was really, that was what both of us could see in front of Eli. Which is to say, I didn't know what was going to happen to Eli in 2 years. I didn't know what was going to happen to Eli in 4 years or 10 years. And nor did Eli. I took out my crystal ball and my Ouija board and I put them on the table at Brooks Tavern, and all we got was, who knows? And so, the predicament that we all have is that we are constrained in what we can see about what has already happened and what will happen. And as much as we yearn for certainty in our journeys that will take us to college, the reality is that many things will happen on your journey that will be painful and difficult. I know you can't believe this, all of you who are going off to college and have gotten a scholarship. I know you can't believe this. But if you turned and you asked your parents, "Has anything bad ever happened to you?" They will say, "Well, of course bad stuff has happened to us." And not only has bad stuff happened to us, but you can't be human without that bad stuff happening to you. In other words, in our gospel reading for today, what the disciples said when they interacted with Jesus was this: Jesus was a prophet, mighty in deed and words. And he had told us all about stuff that was going to happen. We thought, we hoped that he would redeem all of Israel. But now he's lying in a tomb dead. We had hoped we would escape pain and suffering. We hoped that our Messiah would escape pain and suffering. But what Jesus said is this: No. Didn't you listen to me? I said the journey would be filled with pain and suffering. In fact, the journey would end in death. And yet the ministry would continue on the other side. And so here's the thing. As much as we would all like a box of certainty where we could always pull the right answer out that would help us avoid all pain and suffering and would tell us that we could play the bass and make $10 million, right? Those answers and that box don't exist. In other words, What Jesus told his disciples was this. It is necessary for the Messiah to suffer and die, because there is no resurrection without suffering and death. In other words, if you want to participate in my life and ministry and journey, you too will begin to embrace the uncertainty and the suffering that comes with being fully human. I would like to think that all of you, especially those who go to Holy Cross, will make millions of dollars, will come back, and give lots of money to Father Robert's discretionary fund. And perhaps put the new, the West Wing on the rectory, right? But more than that, what I would hope, like the disciples, is that you would embrace the journey of being human with all of its uncertainties and all of the pain and suffering that will come with it, and all of the humiliation that comes from becoming a teenager and moving into being an adult. And that, even along the way, I know this is going to sound crazy, that you wouldn't forget that you were following Jesus. Now, there are going to be a lot of people out there, perhaps like me, your first philosophy professor, who will say, Plato's a lot cooler than Jesus. But what Jesus tells us again and again and again, before he died and after he rose from the dead, is this. If you want to be fully human, you have to embrace what it means to suffer, to die, and also to break bread with me. In other words, there are no shortcuts to your life. You might get out of college in 4 years, or even 3.5, but the chances are your life will have some struggles involved. And what it means to follow Jesus is that when those struggles come, when that suffering comes, when that ambiguity and uncertainty come, you are ready to say, I know what it means to follow my Lord, who also embraced all of these difficulties and challenges. Now, once again, I know you find this hard to believe. Your parents have gone through lots of uncertainty. They've gone through lots of hardship and pain and suffering. And they have a lot to teach you. But they can't live your life for you. They can't make you follow Jesus. They can't open your eyes to the resurrected Lord. So, all of us here who sit behind you and around you will be praying for you, not just that you get A's, because I know some of you here could get A's in your sleep. I see you over there, Naomi. I see you over there, Kenzie. Cooper, no, not so much. What we're going to be praying for is that you become fully human in your walk with Jesus. So that when the hardships come and the pain and suffering comes, you're ready to understand that even there, God is present with God's grace. Now, I have lots of wisdom to share with you. And if you want to get a hamburger with me, I'd love to do that. But just like I said to Eli, I can't live your life for you. I can pray for you. I can love you. I can desire the best for you. But each and every one of us has to walk into the uncertainty that life provides for us. And even there, where our fears and our anxieties are, there is the risen Lord. So, the good news is, you're being sent on the road to Emmaus with those disciples. You don't know the whole story, so don't think you do. You don't know everything about life, so don't think you do. But you're given the open door into the story that God is calling you into. At the end, it says, the disciples say, weren't our hearts burning when Jesus opened the scriptures to us? Notice, not when Jesus told us about the scriptures, but when the scriptures were opened to us and we entered into them. When we became part of the story that God has given us, then our hearts were burning. That's what we ask of you. Walk the path where your hearts are burning, where you're invited into the story, and even when the mystery and the confusion and the ambiguity of life hit, know that you are surrounded by people who desire the best, yearn for you to travel and continue to go where God is calling you. I can't tell you where that is. Even your parents can't tell you where it is. But know that you are surrounded by those who love you and send you forth, not so you know everything, but so that you embrace the challenges that will be given to you in your life. This congregation will be praying for each and every one of you, yearning that you continue to walk with Jesus, even in the midst of the unknown. Amen.